Chapter 8. Minor Transgression, Reliquary Orbital Path. There would be no surprises this time. Chur-Yar had made sure of that. Through the walls of the umbilical, she could see the boxy freighter's atmosphere venting out the careful holes she'd made with her own ship's lasers. If any of the aliens were hiding on board, the shipmistress had done all she could to kill them without harming whatever relic lay inside. After the surprise encounter on the last freighter, Chur-Yar and the other Kig-Yar had scoured the alien ship. But they found no relics. Even Minor Transgression's luminary had given up and dimmed its glyph. In her frustration, the shipmistress decided to destroy the vessel, obliterate all evidence of her fruitless transgression. She had considered ordering the Hurragach to conduct a more meticulous search, but as fast as the creature worked, she didn't want to remain in the same place for very long, in case the alien it had killed had somehow managed to call for help without triggering her ship's sensors. And besides, the Deacon, her only means of communicating with the Hurragach, was an emotional wreck, totally useless after his close call. As infuriating as his cowardice was, Chur-Yar had let him malinger in the methane suite. She needed her crew focused on the task at hand, not distracted by new and interesting ways to torment the Deacon. "Ready yourselves," the shipmistress clattered as the umbilical finished its burn through the vessel's hull. Jar and the two other male Kig-Yar were bunched together before her, as close as their pressure suits allowed. Built for external maintenance rather than combat, the suits were bulky and unwieldy, a necessary inconvenience given the lack of breathable air inside the freighter. Chur-Yar knew her crewmen were uncomfortable, Jar especially. The suit's helmets didn't allow the male's spiny comb as much room to flex, and her chosen mate was fully flushed, eager to prove his worth. The umbilical ceased its fractional forward movement, and Jar's head twitched sideways as he checked to make sure the seal was secure. "After me," he clacked. Gloved claws wrapped tight around his crystal cutlass, he sprang through the wavering energy barrier that served as the umbilical's airlock. The shipmistress gripped her plasma pistol tight and followed the other males through. The first thing Chur-Yar noticed inside the hold was the lack of gravity. Floating half her height above the floor, she realized her laser fire must have hit an essential part. She rattled her teeth with annoyance as she watched Jar and the others work to find purchase on the floor's grooved metal panels. The crewmen had been over-eager. Now they were scrambling about like fools in the mocking glare of the hold's red emergency lights. "Calm yourselves," the shipmistress hissed into her helmet's signal unit. Then, as she secured herself on the umbilical's protruding tip, "Move toward the boxes." The hold was filled with the same plastic containers as the first freighter, though it wasn't nearly as tightly packed. The boxes were stacked in low piles, spaced evenly apart. It would take time to search each one, especially in zero gravity. Chur-Yar hissed angrily to herself. The best way to speed the process was to get the Deacon to instruct the Hurragach to find and fix the antigrav unit she had unintentionally destroyed. But just as she twisted around to head back through the energy barrier, she felt something sharp and hot tear through the neck of her pressure suit, slicing her scaly skin, felt the vibration of more projectiles ricochet off the hold's wall. Her suit automatically closed around the two small punctures, venting some of her violet blood in a globular spray. "Retreat!" she shouted to her crew. "Back to the ship!" The shipmistress didn't know her attacker's location, but she knew it had her firmly in its sights. Without looking to see if Jar and the others were in any position to follow, she thrust herself back inside the umbilical.